presence came and changed me. Yes, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. Amen. Just give the Lord a praise offering.
Amen. We have been changed. There's no doubt about it. I'm not the same guy that I used to be. You didn't know me before, but I know myself before. And I didn't like myself. I hated myself. But now, I'm in love with the Lord because He loved me. Man, what a bargain. What a bargain. He took my life so I can take His life. What a bargain. He took my dirty ropes and, you know, my filthy dirty rags. And He gave me His fine linen, white as snow, please. So we should be grateful this tonight because God is good. We didn't deserve that. All we deserved was death. So if you're getting anything, I don't care how small it is, you're getting more than you deserve anyway. So I'm glad that He saved me and He cleaned me and He filled me with his life. So I can also sing that song, you know, I'm changed. Thank you, musicians. Let's just stand. I got a lot of in my fork. So that's no different today than other times, but Brother Stephen, welcome. I see him way back there. Steve or Stephen? You know who I'm talking about. And Brother Mark, I haven't seen you for one, two. Don't look back. You, it's you. Nice to have you. My condolences, my brother. It's hard because I lost my father this year too. You know, it's never a good thing. You know, when somebody depart, but we have a hope. And that's what we look at, you know. So, I know how you guys feel tonight. So let us go to James 5:16, and I'm going to read there, and then I'm going to read also 1 John 1:9. And my title today is Confession. I'm not going to make any doctrines. They say confession is good for the soul, right? Right. I'm not going to, you know, do like other people do. We don't have to confess to man. But we're going to see something here that is a little kind of weird. You thought last week, brother was talking about weird stuff like death. This is weird. Confessions. It says, confess your faults. To who? To God?
To one another.
To one another. Yeah? You realize that you have to confess your faults? Not your sins, your faults. And pray one for another. So when you confess, then you pray together. That you may be what? So that means the result of faults, not addressed. You get depressed. You get pressed. You get depression. You get sick. When you're in that condition. So we need to get rid of these things, errors and mistakes we make. Because we make us sick. We get worried. You know, and pray to one another for they may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then John 1:9, 1 John 1:9. Now we confess again. But we confess what? Our sins, our faults to one another, sins to God only. See? But He is faithful. He is faithful. And just to forgive us of our sin. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to confess our faults to one another and confess our sin to God. Now, if this wasn't so, why do you think it's in the Bible? So we need to look at it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight once again for the opportunity that we have to look at your precious word. It's life to us. And thank you, Lord, because you provided the opportunity the place, Father. This is all your work, and thank you for bringing us through. And thank you for putting the desire and the hunger and the thirst in our life to come, Father, to feed ourselves from the world, God, tonight, Father. We thank you because it's all you. You're doing all the work. You started that work, and you will finish it. And I thank you, Father, that you made it that way. Other way, I would have failed. If it was up to me, we never done it, Father, but thank you. The many that are sick and afflicted tonight, Father, many are in traveling, vacation, or doing, or in certain circumstances and situations that require for them to be out. Be with them, Lord. Keep them. Protect them, Father, and bring them home sound and safe again. Back to our dwelling here, Father. We thank you. We appreciate you, Lord. Now, Father, take control. From the pulpit all the way to the back door. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. So, I started looking at this because I started thinking about last year. You know, faults are mistakes. Faults are, you know, errors that we make. And we all made mistakes and we all made error last year. Right? So, if we don't learn from our mistakes, our failures, then you're bound to do it again. So, yeah, it's good to come to the next year and leave everything behind. But if some things are not undone or done right, you know, closure, you're bound to do it again this year. Failures are a way for us to learn. See, that's the only way we learn. That is the reason God set it up that way. Because when we fail, then God is trying to show us something that should not be there. So, confess is to acknowledge, you know, our faults. Also, our sins. Once we are aware that we have done something wrong, if somebody make us aware. Now, I cannot make you aware that you are a sinner. If you have done something, I don't have no way to see your heart. God has done that himself. He that's his right. Satan wanted the mind, and God has a right to the heart. So, how do you know? How do I know? I don't know. We preach the word. The word is the discerner of every heart. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you did. But the word will go out there and discern your heart. And at that point, if we, the word make us aware that there's something wrong, we should search and examine our life and then confess it. You don't need to confess it to me. You don't need to confess it to no one. If it's against God, you confess it to God. And that settles everything. Amen. So, if we have done anything against God, then we confess it to God. However, sometimes we can do something against God and affect somebody else. Take a couple, like a married couple. Brother Branham has to deal with that. A woman came to him. She wanted healing, but she couldn't get healed. She tried. She couldn't get healing. She didn't know what was going on. So finally, the discernment went in. And he said to her, you know, sister, you committed adultery. When your husband was out there in the war, you was out there in a car, and you was so faithful to your husband. Oh, but I already made that, you know, I already repented. I already told God everything is okay. No, everything is okay. Right. It's good that you confess to God. Right. But she sinned against her husband. Right. See? So she needed to do that too. She said, no, if I do that, my marriage and all this and all that, it doesn't matter, you know. Brother Brown said, don't worry about it because your husband had done the same thing. So just go back there, fix it. And they did. And they confessed. And they pray, and that's all. Don't make it too hard. That's all. God says, confess your sin, and pray for one another, that God will take care of the rest. And if he said that, then he said, I don't care how big of a problem of sin, there's no sin greater than his grace and mercy in our life. So they came in, and she got healed. So that's what the Bible said. If we don't confess, we might, you know, but that we may be healed as well. He says, but confession. Now, our faults, let's take the first one. Our faults, in this verse, it is used here meaning like we have all kind of shortcomings and failures. As human beings, we do. Just because God saved you, you didn't become perfect that day. Now, in God's eyes, you're perfect. It's done. It's finished. He saved you. He cleaned you. He filled you with the Holy Ghost. You're done. But in His mind, it's done. But you are a work in progress. You are not there yet. That's why we are here. No, in God's mind, yes, potentially you are raptured. But it's still a work in progress. So, and we have a lot of shortcomings. Not because you just got saved. Now suddenly, yeah, you became perfect. Yeah, you don't want to make any more mistakes. As long as you carry this flesh, you're going to say you're sorry. You're going to make mistakes. But that is how we learn. There's certain things in our life that God has to chip away. See? God wants us to have dominion over this flesh. God wants us to by the Holy Spirit in our life to take control of the flesh. Because at one time the flesh was in control. But see, how do we know what supposed to do? But God takes circumstances and situations when we do something, make the wrong choices, do the wrong things, say the wrong things, or act in the inappropriate way, and He used that to show you there's something wrong. And God don't like it. Now, God is not going to destroy you. God wants to clean you of those things, chip that away. Okay, that's not good. Lying is not good. It's not good. You know, all this stuff that it is in you and it's in me. We got shortcomings. And if someone don't have any shortcomings, can you just, your skills, you can leave. Now, we all got shortcomings. Maybe we don't have the same ones, but we all do. Until the day of the rapture. I figure by the time we get close to the rapture, I will be almost just done. Maybe I'll probably finally, you know, the spirit has control of this body. See? But until then, I'm going to have to say I'm sorry. Sorry. So now, as of the many shortcomings and faults that a person have, the number one is vanity. See? Solomon said all is vanity. See? And vanity is a person that is proud. See, a person that is proud is himself, he's self-sufficient. He don't need anybody. He's fulfilled with his life. He don't need no help from anybody. He gratifies his own self. Everything he do is for number one. See? And that is what happened today, that with the church of the Laodicea that says, I have need of nothing. I'm rich. I don't need God. They don't know that, but they're saying, I don't need you. And that is a proud look, a proud. That they're saying, I got everything I need. So, and God hates that. God hates seven things he hates. Six, and the seven is abomination. And the first one is proudness, haughtiness, arrogance, conceited, So, a person like that, like it happens in the Bible, it was a man that he was self-sufficient. He could control everything according to himself. He was just satisfied with life, and he has a big, a silo. He was going to put all his grains. He has big farm, rich. And he said, I'm going to take everything. I got a good 401k. I can't retire now. I put money away. I invested. I can, pull that and let it work for me. And I'm going to sit down and what? And relax. I have arrived. I deserve, to my rest. And this guy said, I'm going to put all everything away. And then I can live, the rest of my life. Being happy. Enjoy myself. My hard work. I done it my way. Proud. So what happened? You know what happened on that story? Yeah, that night, it says your soul is what? Require all that work. But that's what happened to people that are proud. That can happen to anybody. But people that are like that, the Bible says, why do they use these two parables or these two stories? Because there's something on being proud, selfish, satisfied with life and not with the word of God. That's the only thing that can satisfy a man's heart. It's God, but we want to replace it with something else. And the second thing, you know, is conceited. Some people believe they're superior to others. They're more important than others. Now, I'm going to this because this is what was happening in the church in that James was the pastor. You had the rich and you had the poor. The poor complained because the rich was taking advantage of being rich and they're having the best things and they can do take advantage that they were rich and all the good things. Sitting down in the front pews, do the right thing, having the best positions, and the poor people, you know, sit in the back and wait your turn if you ever get there. So James is dealing with these things, you know. They're poor, complaining that their needs are not met, and the rich are complaining because, hey, I made it my way, so I'm not going to give you, you know, go and work hard like I work. Why don't you make it? But, you know, that don't work that way, actually. But that's what was happening. And they were doing favors, favoritism to the rich people. You know? Why? Because he smelled bad. He looked bad. Look at his hair. Man, who combed your hair? You know, what hair parlor did you went to? Or, you know, here, look at you. You know, you don't even know how to write or read. You know, like Peter. Not write or read. But see, they were prejudiced against the poor. And this is what was going. One of the things that was going in James' church. It's not, I'm glad it's not going here. But I'm probably in this message someplace. This is happening. Maybe. I don't know. So it says, people that are conceited, arrogance, they are overconfidence, superiority spirits, egocentric, self-centered. See? And at one point, somehow we all were that way. The Bible says that at one time, you know, we were shaped in iniquity, came to the world telling lies. So don't think that this is too far away that you cannot identify with these things. Come to the world speaking lies and shaping iniquity. We was deceitful, dishonest, unworthy, imperfect, void of character. You know, that's how we were. I'm sorry that this is sound like it's not a shouting sermon, but hey, listen. If we do not know our failures and our faults, you're bound to do them again and again and again. All I want you to know, to look back, find out where have we been all year, what has happened, how did it happen, to who it happened, and if there's something that we need to clear out, then we need to confess that to one another. So, I'm sorry if it's not a shouting sermon, but this is what I'm looking at. I want to proceed in 2019. But if you drag your things from the last year, if you don't make them right, you drag them to this year and we do the same thing again. We don't need to. If we settle everything, everything is settled. You know, if I tell my wife, forgive me, she might have done something to me or I did something to her. And if I ask her for forgiveness and she forgives me, that is the end of that. You should not even bring it. You shouldn't even mention it. Because God himself says he throw your sins and your faults and your failures in the sea of forgiveness and he will not remember them anymore. And we should do the same thing. Because that is our nature. So if I ask her to forgive me or the other way around, then in an argument, don't bring it out. And if I do it again, I cannot say, well, or she do it again. You cannot say, well, here we go again. Remember last year? You shouldn't even do that. You know, God don't come to you when you do a mistake or sin and he forgive you and then you do it again. He said, remember? No, he forgot. Right. You start with a clean slate. Once you settle, once you confess your sin, your fault, you start with a clean slate. Amen. He will not remember. If you do it again, it's the first time you've done it. So if your husband or your wife do it again, it's the first time she done it. You have to forgive him. How many times? 7 times. What? 70. And that is just in one day. I haven't never counted how many times, but if I get there or not, probably close. I don't. But that's a lot in one day. So you will never run out of excuses. I mean, forgiveness. Sorry. So. Weakness, you know, we got weaknesses, we lack of strength, not only strength physically, also strength spiritually, you know, And we couldn't resist the devil. At one point, we were just a slave. We didn't have no way to break that bond. So 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, I know, Gina, that the uprighteous, is the wicked, the unholy, the bad, the sinful, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, at one point, we were not even close. We were just a zero to the left. It says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, not abusers of themselves, with mankind, not thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, and such were some of you. I'm not saying that. He says, and some were some of you. Maybe you didn't do one of those, but you might have done some other ones. We cannot claim that we are good enough to deserve to be saved. It says, and so were some of you, but you are washed. Praise the Lord. But you are washed by, and you are sanctified. Washed by the word, sanctified, justified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's where you are right now. So, no longer we walk in condemnation. See, at one point we were condemned to death. But we no longer walk in condemnation. Why? Because we have been saved. We have been changed. God don't want the world to be lost and be condemned. The Son of God don't came to the world to condemn the world. He came to do what? To save the world. Now, people condemn themselves because Jesus gave them the way out of that kind of a life. All this life that we just are more. Now, but they don't want to take the way out. So who is condemning who? They condemn themselves, you know. Jesus said, you know, talking to the Pharisees of those days, he says, you know, the light came to them, but they refused the light. They love the darkness more than what? Some people will not love to change. But I'm glad that today you and I have something in us that help us. You know, I'm glad that God put something in me that desire to change because I was tired. Some people don't care. They love darkness and they love to wallow out there with the pig. But you know what? I am glad that even though at one time that was me, that was my life, God came into my life and did something. He changed my life. So I don't have to feel no more condemnation. God is not going to destroy me. I took the way out. But I still made mistakes. And I'm still going to do some errors, and I'm going to make some bad choices, but I'm not going to be condemned anymore. Right. Why? Because that's for the lost. I'm not lost any longer. Yeah. See? But the Holy Spirit will convict me.
Right.
See, that's the responsibility of the Holy Ghost. He came to condemn or to what? To convict.
Right.
Now, conviction is a different than condemnation. You can be convicted that you did something wrong. The Holy Spirit said, that's not right. But he didn't come to condemn you and destroy you. He did that. God do that just to help you because he wants you to better yourself, not to destroy you. So when somebody, the word of God come forward or somebody make you aware of something, it's not for your destruction. It's for you to be better next time you don't do it again. If you can be aware of what you've done. So, it is a conviction that he's talking about here. 1 John 1:9. We read that one at the beginning. It says, let's talk about sins a little bit. And we confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse of our own righteousness. Now, just switching a little bit here to confess our sin. Now, sin, we know what sin is. Sin is unbelief. That's it. You can commit a transgression, you know, a violation against the word of God. See, we mentioned some of them, drunkards, you know, things like that. See, but we can commit a violation. You can be going down the street, it's 75 when it's 55. You're violating the law. You're breaking the law. That's a transgression. So sometimes we break God's law just as well. So, or we can break his divine laws. Now, you say, but we don't go by laws. Yes, we do. You know, the Bible said, if you love, you have fulfilled the law. If you love someone, you don't desire bad things for somebody. If you love someone, you don't steal. That's a law. If you love someone, you don't say false things against somebody. You don't kill his character. If you love somebody, read chapter 13, you fulfill the law. So, yes, we can transgress against God's word sometimes, but don't worry about it. God is not going to destroy you. You are not condemned. If we sin, he's faithful to what? To forgive us, the Bible said, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we are not saved and he condemned, he wants you to find the way out of that. And he's providing. Not only condemn you here, I show you how you can get out of that. But if you don't take it, what's left? Amen. So, unbelief is a transgression. It's an offense against a standard. Like I said, you go in 55, a law, a social, a rule, or something against maybe what the message of the hour preaches. No? You know how we're supposed to behave, to dress, to look. And not and going against that, we have break in a standard. See? But you can be at ease because condemnation is not applied to you and I. But if you're not safe, it will be. John 3:21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, okay, you did something, but you're not condemned. So then have we confidence towards who? Towards God. So that is how you know, that you have sinned, but God will forgive you. He will not condemn you. He will not destroy you. But he says we have confidence to our God. And First Thessalonians, I think it's 1:5, because our gospel come to you not simply with words, but also with power, the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost, spirit, and deep conviction. What brings conviction to your heart is not me. What brings conviction to your heart is the word of God. What brings conviction is the Holy Ghost. So if I'm talking here and suddenly I look at you and I say something and you tell me, well, he's talking about me. No, I don't even know what you're going through. I'm just looking. I might stop suddenly and I say something and you think I'm talking to you. I'm just talking. The word brings conviction. The Holy Ghost said that's got to be made right. I don't know anything about it. So don't blame me. What you have to do, just confess it. And that is what it is all. We are all here for, to go through this process, you know, and that's part of the process. So the Holy Spirit and deep conviction, you know how we live among you for your sake. Now, let me read you what Brother Brand said, a little bit more about sin. When you do that, I gotta get my glasses, even though I can read, but I don't want to strain them. When do you that, when you receive him like that, that's my persuasion to you. These new years, okay? 2009. I'm persuaded this little tabernacle, how I love you, how I love this little group of people, how I would like to come in some time, walk down through this building and just look. You know what I have always longed for or longed to see? A church filled with the Spirit that sin could not even be around it. As soon as one member done something wrong, the Spirit would call it right out. See, not me. The Spirit of God will call it right out. I don't have discernment, at least the one that Brother Brennan had, to know the secret of your heart. But the Word do, and the Holy Spirit do. He do be afraid to join himself with the Christian before confessing it and making it right. See, the reason we come nonchalant, it's because this thing is not happening. Well, you don't think it's not happening, but it's too close now to that. We are close. He says, Christian, before confessing and before you come to church, make it right. Don't come to the store unless whatever you have against God or against your mate or against somebody, make it right. Because he will call it right out in the meeting when you get together. You cannot hide. You can hide from me. You can hide from the church. You can hide, but you cannot hide from God. And if I'm subject to God, and an inspiration come to my heart. I don't know who it is, but I might say something that is just surely it's going to be something to speak to your heart. But I don't know nothing. But God knows everything. God knows what's in your heart. So the reason we come to church is because we want the Holy Ghost to search our hearts. You know, we're too late. We are here to make things right. He's soon coming. And we cannot just going around nonchalant like everything is fine and checking the box and coming to church. This is time for checking in so we can check out. Checking our lives. And this year is going to be one of those years that we need to do that. You see, there wouldn't be that lovely. But some people would say, I don't know about that. I want the Lord to discern my heart. Because I'm not afraid. And if something there that don't belong there, I want it out. I don't want no problem when I get to the river. I don't want no problem if I die before he comes. I don't want any problem when I get there. I want to make sure that I'm sure that I am okay. So for that, I need to receive his discernment. I don't care how he comes. Don't care how he comes. Through the pulpit? Wow, I just talked to that guy the other day. He shouldn't. I knew he was going to mention it. That's not how we work. That's not how things work. If you feel bad because somebody says something, it's because you have something. It's a conviction. God has convicted you of something. Why don't you search your heart and figure out what it is? Or ask God, God, what is this about? You know? And then fix it. But don't start putting blame. Because what happened is later on you're going to do that and you're going to continue dragging this thing with you wherever you go. People will leave churches. People go places. You know what? When they get there, it's not going to be no better. You know why? Because the problem is in us. Our problem is all the shortcomings, the failures, the fall, the error. You take them with you. And it's going to happen the same thing. As soon as the discernment comes and God starts dealing with people, people say, away from my life. Pastor, preacher, you know, you don't have no rights to do this or do that. But what are you going to do? Leave again and find another church? You're going to take the problem right with you. He says, I'm not saying that that's the case here of people that left. I'm just giving you a general thing. It says, now, if it all work, if it is, it will work on one, it will work on another. You see? See? And everybody in prayer, and all you as one unit, one person, just one person, like we are all members of one body, moving right along. See, that's what confession do. That's what prayers do. That's why we come to church, so we can be one. We have the same feelings, like it was in Jesus Christ. Not my feeling. I don't care about my feelings, and I don't care about your feelings, but I care about the way the he felt. See, we had to have the same feeling that Christ had. It says, like we are all members of one body moving right along. This year we need to move right along. But you need to understand, there's a difference here about confessing and our sins and our faults. It's something that has to be going on all the time. This is a check-in time, you know. We don't want to come and walk in a service when we know, okay, let's see that you don't know. For whatever reason, you think you're right. See? And you walk in the service and you realize that the Holy Spirit spoke to you. You know, that wasn't the preacher getting on your case. That is him. Amen. Just to make you better. Thank just you, to make sure you get rid of that. Thank you, Lord. You know, for your own benefit. Amen. It says, baptizing the body. It says, again, of the Spirit of God, filled with the same Spirit, baptized in the same body. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now, we can have it. God promised it to us. But first, then, burial and resurrection. Must be, that's the three stages of being born again. You have to die to yourself. First, the seed has to fall in the ground. Not only fall, it has to be buried in the ground. It has to rot out. Your life, my life had to rot out. This had to rot out. That's what we're doing. The process, walking, getting this guy to rot out, to fall. One of these days it's going to fall. But who's going to do that? When we die to ourselves in every daily walk, dying to our feelings, dying to our thoughts, dying to our ideas. You know, I'm taking his, and the more we take his, the more we start sharing this guy. Because I tell you what, if it don't rot out, it's just not going to come up. Jesus said it has to fall, it has to rot out, and then it can come back up. So, Jesus said, I think it was in Luke or Matthew 9:23 or Luke, somewhere around there. He says, we need to, if we don't hate father and mother or sister and whatever, he says, if we don't hate our own even life, we cannot be his disciple. We need to modify the flesh every day. That is the reason we are going through the process. See who's going to win today. Well, I'm going to make a positive confession. I'm going to win. The real me is going to win. Amen. Because I'm not going to make no negative confessions. So Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation or punishment, see, of guilty. I've been changed. There's no guilt. There's no fear. There's nothing. I've been changed. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's you and me. But we get in trouble. Now the conviction come is what the Holy Ghost sometimes declare, you know, hey, you made a mistake. You're guilty. Offense. You violated this or that. But that is the Holy Ghost. But that is a conviction. So if you feel condemned tonight, you don't know the love of God in your life. Because God will not condemn you. He's going to save you to condemn you? No, he says, I will not condemn you any longer. So he says conviction. So it is a bargain, you know. Brother Green used to say conviction is the greatest bargain there is. Because if you are feeling conviction, that means God is still dealing with you. But what happens if you don't feel conviction anymore? You have crossed the line. God don't care anymore. I mean, I'm glad that I feel conviction when I do wrong. See? Because I know he still loves me. And he still cares. That's the way you need to look at it. We're not here to point and say and shame you. If the world God will point to some failure, some fall, it's because God loves you. And he wants to walk with you, but we have to make things right. If you are a son of God or daughter of God filled with the Holy Ghost, you belong to God. Nothing can separate you. So something has to go. What do you think has to go? The failure, the faults, the way we think about things, the way we do some things. So God is dealing with us. So I'm glad that he's still doing. We haven't crossed the line. As long as you feel conviction for what you're doing, that means God is still in control. James 5:16 says, confess your fault to one another. We read this one. Let's go back now to confess our fault and pray one for another that then we may be healed. Now, confess, again, to acknowledge that we are wrong. And we do it openly in the sense if you commit a sin, you just cannot, you know, well, God knows my heart. No, you have to get down. You have to confess openly. Not openly to people, but to God. You just can't say, well, he knows me. He knows my failure. He knows my faults. No. We have to confess. That we may be healed. Now, confession says, false. Unconfessed fault will bring spirits of dissatisfaction. See, this is what happens when you start having failures and faults and you blame anybody. Then you get dissatisfied. You don't want to, you get unhappy, displeasure, disgruntled, unrest. You start murmuring again the church, again people, just like we, you know, we're human, so we do all that. See, if you are not happy, what happened? Well, you're going to feel like not to come to church. I mean, we're living in a day that actually, you know, in 9/11, churches got full and people ran to church. But this is the time that, you know, we need to run to church. Because one of these days, we are going to run to, and it's not going to be. See? I thank God because we still have something that pulls us to church. It's not because I want to be better or I look better. It's because something compels me to come to church. And that is it. I'm glad he's still dealing with me. So I'll confess. False will bring all kind of spirits, see? And then we start complaining, we start murmuring, and we start complaining that the church is not meeting my needs. Instead of coming to church and meeting the church needs, it's the other way around, we reverse things. I come to church and he didn't make me happy, he didn't shake my hand. Well, he didn't do this, and now what? We start getting anxious and start getting nervous every time the pastor gets to the pulpit. I hope you don't. Don't say anything about whatever. See, that's anxious. And then we start imagining things. Why? Because we are not in line with the word of God when it comes to forgiving, confessing a fault and to one another. Now, so unconfessed sins will do that, unconfessed fault. And sooner or later, people get depressed. People get depressed, and they get sick. And then you don't see them anymore. You wonder, what happened to so-and-so? And I'm saying that people that are sick, don't go that way. Don't even go there. I didn't say that people that are sick, they have a problem. We get sick. We still frail bodies. This is a pet house, according to what he preached this week. You know, Job got what he got coming to him. That wasn't his fault. So don't say that I said that people that are not here that are sick is because. No, I didn't say that. I never entered my mind. Until some of you probably thought about it, I guess. I didn't think that thought. I didn't. Somebody wants to claim? I didn't. I will not claim it. That's how Satan works, see? And that's why you have to be on your toes. He says, Romans 1:29, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, whatever. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossipers. I'm glad he threw that one there. Because that's one of the symptoms in the church. One of the more common symptoms. When people are dissatisfied, disgruntled, they murmur because they are not happy. Because there's something going in their life that they cannot recognize what's going on. And they start doing what? Whispering. You know that. And then they're looking, you know, misery, lost company. You know, it's like forming a clique. And sooner or later, they believe what they imagine. And then everybody's trying to get them. Everybody's after them. That, you know, that's all imagination. Why? Because there's something wrong. There's something wrong, not in somebody else. There's something wrong we need to take care of it. Because when we welcome those spirits, because there's something that is not going right in our life. You say, but no, I go to church, and that's fine. Go to church. I pray. That's good. But when we start feeling that way, unhappy, and, you know, I can see that guy not even in picture. I can see that guy. You know, when we start feeling that way about each other, there's something wrong. This kind of feeling should not be in a church. So if we had this kind of feeling last year, we don't need to. We need to make things right. Because we are a body and we have the same spirit. And we need to walk together. This is the year that we need to... It's not a year to separate more. It's the year to unite more. Amen? Romans 1:30 says, slanders, God haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They even ways of doing evil. They invent ways to do evil. They disobey their parents. So once you open yourself for spirit, you don't know how far it's going to take you. So the thing is to make things, Brother Brown says, I want to get to the point, and I'm paraphrasing, I want to get to the point that when I do something wrong, at that moment, not tomorrow, not when, never, maybe next time I find them, or, you know, I make things right. No, in that precise moment, why let it linger? Right. You're opening yourself for more spirits. Because one will bring another one. Said, in that moment, I want to make things right with God. I want to ask you to forgive me, get up, and move on. The longer we wait, the longer things get worse. Relationships are that way. The longer you leave them, you know, the brother does says, people think that if they leave things alone, you know, when they're wrong, they're going to get better. The longer you leave them, the worse it gets. If something don't start right, how do you think it's going to end up right? Matthew 18:6. Let's see. But who shall offend one of these little ones, sons of God, children of God, which believe in me? It was better for him to do what? To put a millstone and hang about his neck, and then he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Wow, that's cruel. But that's how God looks at it, not me. To offend. You know what an offense comes? Well, an offense is a violation. A transgression. See? Could be a law. Whatever. An offense comes because somebody violated or broke the law or transgressed against the law. See? So, it's a sin, actually. Colossians 3:17, and whosoever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. And the only reason I bring this, because if you supposed to do, and I'm supposed to do all things in action and in thoughts, not only in thoughts, but physically, deeds and word. So if we do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, then it has to come out right. If you cannot do something in the name of Jesus, there's something wrong. If you're going to say something to somebody and you cannot say, well, this is in the name of our Lord, then what are you trying to say? Because if God don't speak through you, whatever you have to say is death. My word will bring death. The only word that can bring life is his word. Any other word is death. My words cannot bring life. Only his word. If I speak his word through this mouth to bless you, you will be blessed. But if it's my word, I'm going to say, that says the Lord. I'm sure I'm not going to say that. But if it's his word, I will tell you, that says the Lord. Because I want you to be blessed. That's the only reason I put that. Again, this is a principle. Whatever you do in word or in deed, you know, whatever you do physically or you just, you know, think about it. Now, everything that you think, speak louder than what you do. So don't you think you get away by thinking bad about somebody? Well, I wish. Well, you might as well go ahead and do it and say it because they speak louder than your action. So whatever you do, thought or physically, you know, if we not doing according to the word of God and to the word of God, then we're wrong. It's not going to bring life. It's going to bring contentment, division, fight. People are going to be angry. Why? Because my word cannot produce nothing good. I hate my word. I don't even want it. You know, that's what James says. If you can't restrain your tongue, you can be actually a perfect man. Why? Because you don't get yourself in trouble. That's why we get in trouble. You know, we get more in trouble because our mouth than anything else. It's not so much what goes in, it's just what goes out that gets us in trouble. So we need to measure our words. We need to, you know, hold on what we're going to say. Think about it. Because if it's not going to bring somebody, you know, edify somebody, what are you going to do? Bring them down. See, it says, Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said unto Peter. Now, this is an example. Because if you offend somebody, you know, one of those little ones is better. I don't care if it's your fault, you made a mistake, it was intentionally, I didn't mean to do it, it doesn't matter. If we offend someone, a child of God, this is what we deserve. It's not what we're going to get, but that's what we deserve. See, Peter said, but turn and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense. Not Peter, but that spirit that was in Peter. See, we cannot leave those spirit, you know, right along. There's no right along here like they do in the police department. You need to cast them out. Anything that exalts itself above the world, you need to cast them out because they want it right along. And Satan is, he puts thoughts and he do things because he want to put a stumbling block. See, that's what offense is. A stumbling block. Something in the way that we draw you into an error, a mistake. That's what Peter, he wasn't thinking about it. It wasn't him. It was the devil. He says, Satan, get thee behind me. It is Satan that will do these things. And we need to cast them out every day. Every time a thought comes to my mind, like I just told you right now, if it's not from God, cast it out. I don't care if it's against your brother, your sister, whatever it is. It don't belong. Because that is the first thing we need to do. See? Do not entertain. Don't even mess with him. Don't even pay attention to him. Once you get a thought and you know it's not becoming, don't continue. That's what the Bible said. Resist the devil and he will run. Where do you resist him? Right here. As soon as you get a thought, you just kind of, talk to the hand. I'm not going to even think about it. Because as soon as we start entertaining the thought. It says, causing one to stumble. That's what it said. An offense. A stumbling block. An occasion for someone to stumble. You know, a rock which is a cause of a stumbling. One person or thing which, whatever it is, says drawn into error or sin. So, if you offense one of these little ones to commit a sin or to what? Or to commit an error, a fault. You know, it is an offense. Now, this is serious. You might think this is not serious. Listen, violating the law of God is a serious thing. See, and offending someone is a serious thing because you violated the law of God. You and me. Now, I already preached this to me twice. Listen, Galatians 2:13, as a result on the Jewish Christian follow Peter. Now, Galatians 2:13, as a result, other Jewish Christians follow Peter. You know what Peter did? I'll tell you in a minute. Peter's hypocrisy and even Barnabas was led astray by the hypocrisy. Now, you're going to tell me, yeah, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost there when he said, you know, when Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. But now he has the Holy Ghost. Did he change? You know, let me tell you, we are product of our society, our cultures, you know, whatever we came from. And we drag certain things with us. We all do that. Good, bad, ugly, we just drag them. See? And Peter and Paul, they were Jewish from beginning. See? So they had certain things that they dragged with themselves, the culture, the teaching, the way they were, you know, all that is part of them. So when Peter said, you know what? Here comes the Gentiles. So he was, you know, having fellowship with the Gentiles. But when the Jewish came in, he would get away and go, why he didn't want to sit with this bunch of uncircumcised? Because the law taught Peter, you know, that was his way, that you had to be circumcised. That was part of his culture from the beginning. But he needed to change that. That was Paul came and what? And rebuked him. I said, you cannot do that. See? You cannot do that. Sometimes we do that. That's what James was saying. Rich and poor, you cannot do that. Just because you're rich, you deserve the first places, you deserve the best position. Just because you are rich, you deserve everything, and the poor what? We cannot do that. And moreover, I'm going to say this. We cannot look, you know, stick up our noses to somebody else. You have no right to look down on anybody. It's called respect. You want respect, then you respect people. And that's what Peter wasn't doing. And in this message, this goes on. Some people think that they are high and mighty because they've been in the message 40 years. And here comes, you know, somebody, you know. It doesn't matter. We need to respect each other. If you don't like the way I dress, that's fine. If you are stylish and you like to dress and I might want to dress with rags, that's fine. In fact, if you don't like my dressing, why don't you buy me some clothes? But as long as I'm buying my clothes, don't tell me how to dress. My birthday is coming pretty soon. No, but you know what I'm saying. Sometimes, some people feel resentfulness for some people, right, for somebody else. You don't have to say nothing. It's just the way you act around people. People feel resented. You know, cliques. That's the way they do that. You know, that's wrong. Because what you're doing is just going, you know, I'm better than you. See? That's what we're saying. Oh, I cannot talk to you. Who do you think you are? You know, I'm high society or whatever. You know? It should not be happening in church. That's a fault. That's a failure to think that way. I mean, if it wasn't for God, you'd be down just like me in the same put of mud of pain and destitute and towards that, you know? But somebody sometimes feels resentful because and displeasure causes some people to be offended. Maybe you don't think you did it. Maybe you don't think nothing's going on. But if you notice that somebody is offended because an action that this happens all the time. Don't look at me like this is new to you. We like to be sarcastic. You know what sarcasm is? Instead of telling what we want to tell, we kind of adorn it with something else. But, you know, that's what we want to say. Like you tell, forgive me about this one. You tell a fat lady, you know, for being so fat, you don't sweat a lot. Is that a compliment or sarcasm? You just cannot tell me that I'm fat, but you want to. That's what I'm saying. A sarcasm is you dress it up so it don't look like, so the person is just kind of wondering, wow, what was that? That's sarcasm. You know? And we have it. I'm the first one. I confess. I love sarcasm, but not to destroy somebody's character. I love sarcasm not to do damage or destroy somebody. The reason I do it is because I am a person from the very beginning of my upbringing. I was shy and I was timid. Okay, it don't look now, but that's what I'm here. Because I'm shy and I'm timid and I will not do this. If I wasn't, if I think I can do this job, God will not choose me. I am shy, I am timid, I'm not a person, people person. You said, well, you know, I tell people, I told John one time, I don't like to be seen, I don't like to be heard. He said, but that's too bad, you're preaching and you're playing that trumpet. But it's true. But then I find myself in situation that I don't want to be. You think I love to do this? Sure. To be in front of you? I used to hide every time they needed a volunteer to do things like this. I was too shy and I still are. Me and my wife sometimes, my wife and I sometimes we go to this sharing in the business, you know, businesses get together for sharing the time. And you're supposed to mingle around and talk and trying to people to know you and to help you. Maybe they can help you with your business, generate more, you know, that's the reason for it, to help each other. When I went to the first one, I just went to a corner. That's what I do. That's why sometimes you don't see me around in fellowship. You see me in the corner waiting. Because I had to warm up to you guys. See, I don't have no choice here. Either warm or not, you got to get in here. See, because God did that, not me. But I had to warm up to people. So in order for me to warm up to people, I use sarcasm a lot. See, I make you laugh. I said things that are kind of weird and you laugh. Why, this guy's funny. Why, I'm trying to just kind of break the ice and get comfortable. And that's what I use sarcasm, but not because I want to destroy somebody. But some people use them, you know, the other way. It's no good. You know, you tell your friend or your brother, you say, well, you know, man, I got to wear glasses around you because every time the sun shining in that bald spot there, it blinds me. And then you start thinking, what's, is that a compliment or what? No, he's calling you bald-headed. He just don't want to go out and say it. That's what sarcasm is. See? And we use it all the time. You can ask Kenny. I use it all the time. I used to. I'm trying to refrain myself from that. However, it's because the way I'm wired up, you know, I need to do that. So I can break the ice and get people not to look at. Listen, I was so bad that I would put clothes. When I was young and I was a teenager, I would not use tight clothes. I didn't want to bring no attention to myself. That's how bad I was. If I noticed somebody was looking at me, I feel bad because I didn't want to bring attention. So I'm not trying to dress in a way that people will look at me. So that's how bad I was. And I'm still that way. I don't like attention. I don't like it. And sometimes I don't even know how to react when people give me attention. So forgive me if you try to kind of praised me, and I kind of went like, well, thank you, and you know, that's it. You know, it's, I don't know how to handle praises. But that is the way I'm wired up. It's not that I don't like you. I bet you it's a few of you guys the same way. No? Okay. I'm unique. So, but if you bring an offense, even when you think you're making a joke, you're being sarcastic, and you offend your brother, and you think it was funny, and you think nothing was wrong, but he got offended, he's not going to tell you because he's your friend. But he's going to go and say, you know, thinking about, man, what's his problem? You know, why did he do that? See? So unless somebody speaks, somebody make that other man aware of what he's doing, he continues like everything is fine and dandy. But it's not. It creates an offense. We need to clear it out. We cannot move to this year with any kind of offenses in our life. Because as long as we are in this flesh, we're going to have to say we're sorry. We are going to make mistakes, mishaps. We have imperfections in our flesh. And we are going to continue until we are done. This, God uses all these faults, you know, to mold and shape our character. That's why they're there. See? Because how do you know? Okay, you tell me, I'm an honest person. You know, honest Bill. Okay, how many times have you stole anything? Oh, I never steal. Like George Washington, I never said a lie. But how you know, I know that, you know. But if you are honest, you will never know that you are honest until you are in that situation where you can steal something. So being honest, just because you tell me you're honest, don't mean anything. You have to go to the trial. God has to prove everybody that comes to him, he proves. And if you say you're honest, you're going to be in a situation, you're going to go to Walmart, she's going to give you $20 more than you gave. You gave five, they give you 20. See what you're going to do, how honest you are. That's how I know you're honest. When the chance and the opportunity come to fail. Listen to me. Successful, business says successfulness, or successful brings success, you know, brings success. Okay, well, how many times do you fail to get there? See, how many times Baby Ruth fell before he got a record of 714 home runs in his career? You know how many? Twice as much. Almost 1,400 times. His strikeout before he could get... Now, we don't talk about those things. We talk about the success. How many times Edison failed to... get this light bulb going before he found the right one. We don't talk about failures. But see, in your failures, in my failures, when you are learning, if you don't fail and you don't never make an error, you will never learn. Successful don't learn anything. You know, Edison said, okay, yeah, I know 100 times or 1,000 times what not to do. See, those failures help them to learn what not to do next time. So he didn't do it. He failed. Okay. And I don't know how many times he tried. You know what? We try. We fall. We make mistakes. You're learning. And you, like Brother Doug says, I reserve the right to what? To learn. Take an angel. An angel will never know what grace is. Why? Because he never makes a mistake. Ask him about the grace of God. He's going to say, what is that? Well, you never made a mistake. You never know. Mistakes and failures teach you. They said teaching moment. So don't take that as a, oh, my God, I made a mistake. I'm done. I'm gone. No, no. You know, you didn't do it willingly or intentionally, but we are going to make mistakes. And that is the time to learn. Because if we don't learn, we do it again. What did we learn last year? Did you learn anything last year with all that year that we after the fire? Did you learn anything? Not about the fire, not about me, about yourself. Did you learn anything about yourself, all the things that went on in a year? If you didn't, you're still going to have to learn something. See? So, it says, Revelation 12:11, and they overcome. Okay, well, who you overcoming? Yourself. So if you don't make mistakes and you don't make error, who you gonna overcome then? There's no overcoming in success, but it's a lot of overcoming failures. And I'm gonna make my share of failures in this life, but I'm looking forward to learn something so I will not do it again. Sometimes I don't know what is inside my heart. You know, when I started this walk, there was many things that God would not allow that I would go through because I was just a baby and I could not handle those things. Now I'm going through something that I didn't go 40 years ago. Why? Because now I am more mature and God says it's time for him to handle that. Let him have it, Satan. Sometimes Satan comes, can I do this? No, he's not ready for that, but just wait. You need to know what is inside you. Not so much so you can be bad. You need to know what don't belong inside you. And how do you know that? Conflicts you go through. Situations. You know, you made mistakes. You made the wrong choices. And then you learn. That's not good. I make a lot of mistakes. You know, in my life, I'm still making mistakes. I forgot to pay my water bill. I forgot and they just shut them off. I learned something. Not to forget the water bill. Okay. Life teaches you lessons in the spot. If you just take a moment and examine those things and see, God, what are you trying to tell me so I will not do that again? So if we went through all this last year and we went through all what we went through, there was a teaching moment there for everybody. Even if you was not directly involved, there was a teaching moment that we would not allow that to happen again. Says 5:17, Revelation. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the word of the testimony, I believe the message. I believe the message of the hour. That was their testimony, you know. And they love not their life, see? My feelings, my thoughts, my passion, you know, I don't want them. And I don't want yours. I want his. I got to die. I got to be buried. And I had to rise up like he, Jesus died and was, you know, and came up in the resurrection day. One of these days, I'm going to be completely dead to myself. I'm looking forward for that day. And it had to be that way before. This is not going to be in the other side. I'm sorry. If you're waiting for something magic to come and change you, it's not going to happen. It changes. It's now. God is using all these things in your life situation to change your life. So you and I can be completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Every time something happens, I need to surrender that part, whatever it was, to the Holy Spirit. So next time I will not do it again. I got to resist the devil sometimes, you know. But if I fall, I learn. There's something wrong. What do I need to do? And if you need some help, you cannot chase, you know, one can chase a thousand. You need a partner to confess. Let me get to that part in a minute. Confess one another. It was a lot of confession going on last year. There's nothing wrong with confessing. If you offend somebody in word or deed, you need to confess. As soon as somebody makes you aware of the mistake or the error, right then we need to go and make things right. There's nothing wrong with confessing our faults. Not our sins, no, our faults. Sorry, sister, I talked to you that way, but I didn't mean to. I was just, my blood pressure, my blood sugar was low and I was hungry. And I don't know what happened. Whatever, get excused. But you need to confess it. Sorry, I didn't mean to look to you that way. I wanted to shake your hand, but I'm sorry, I went just by you, but it's because my mind was on my beans that are burning at home and I was trying to get home. But whatever, when you realize that somebody is offended and somebody make you aware, or you, maybe you notice that, oh, my sister, I don't know what's wrong with her. She always talk to me. She always shake my hand. She always say hi and bye. And she didn't even talk to me. Go and find out. It might not be your fault, but anyway, you got to make sure everything is okay. He says, overcome Satan, the flesh, the imperfections. We need to overcome. Elijah was a man subject, James 5:17. Elijah was a man subject to light passions. My goodness, it's 9 o'clock. Let me see. I'm going to have to stop and probably give you a second part. You know what? Give me a couple of minutes and I stop. It says, Elijah was a man subject to light passions as we are. Okay? He was a human being. He made mistakes. He made a lot of mistakes. He told us he made mistakes. So don't put him in a pedestal. He was a human being just like you and me. See, some people want to put him in there like he was infallible, never made a mistake. He himself said he made mistakes. He says, Elijah was a seer to light passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. See, God will listen. He's his son. But you need to understand, you are wired up a certain way, and you will make mistakes. But that don't mean that God is not going to hear you. Just make things right. God will use you. God used Elijah. God used me, and I'm full of faults. Anyway, he says, Elijah was a human being, as we are. And then he prayed, so the Lord will not rain. So here, failure. See, sometimes, like I said, we failure is a lack of success. See? You did something and ended in a failure. See? It was non-conforming. So, this is the way it's supposed to be done, but it didn't happen that way, so you're not conforming to that. See? This is the Word of God, and you did something, it didn't conform to the Word of God, you're non-conforming. So that's a fault. And as soon as you find God will speak to you through the word. God speaks to you through the preacher. You reach your word and God shows you, this is the mirror, that you're not conforming. You got to make it right. We got to make it right. Because we cannot continue. God will not give us no more until only that little light. He's not going to shed no more light unless we move forward. And if we make a mistake, we need to own up to it and do something before God can help us go and move this year. He says, Leviticus 5:15. It says, when you become aware of your what? Guilt. In any of these ways, we're going to look at them. You must confess your sin and your fault. Whenever you come aware. And I'm going to tell you what. If you're a son or a daughter of God, God will make you aware. God will not let you go that way too long. He will use someone, he will use the word, but he will make you aware. If you're a son of God, you're going to be aware. Now, number one, let me go to verse one. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, okay, and it's a witness, somebody, you know, is probably giving his word to somebody else, you know. He said, well, I swear that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And he says, and you saw something. Let's put it this way. Simple. You saw something, somebody doing something wrong. You witnessed it. And whatever he has seen or known of it, even if it was right or wrong, it doesn't matter what they're doing. You witness it. And he do not utter it, then shall bear his iniquity. Now, this is what that says. Let me read you the NIV. I need to finish quickly. Leviticus. So what he's saying here, that if you find somebody taking an oath or making an oath, right or wrong, you're not supposed to promise. You're not supposed to swear anyway. So, but if you are a witness of something and you don't say nothing, you just are guilty of that iniquity. I mean, that's what the NIV is saying. So how many times last year we saw this? People was aware of what was going on and never said anything about it. Why are we afraid? If something is wrong, we need to fix it. It doesn't matter if he's my brother, my sister, he's going to get mad at me. He's not going to talk to me. What do you want? To bear the responsibility? If you see a murder, and you know, that's what happened in New York, at least most of the time. Nobody saw anything. I mean, they were right there. They killed the guy. Everybody flew, and the police said, no, I didn't see anybody. You know what happened? No, I don't know. No, but you can live 10 years next to another guy or next to a family in an apartment, and you never know who they were. They don't want to. They don't like relationship. You know why? Because that means that you have to be responsible. See, relationship means You got to take care of him. But they don't want the relationship. So they kill the guy next door, and they come, the police come and said, I didn't hear nothing, I didn't see nothing, nothing. Because they don't want a big what? Involved. You cannot do that in church. If you see something wrong, and somebody gossip and tell you something wrong, it is your duty as a Christian to say something. Because it's not, the longer we let it go, the worse it gets. And then we're all going to suffer sooner or later. So if you don't, you're just as responsible as the one that did it. I wanted to read that out of here, but Leviticus, by the time I find it, this is a new bar. Leviticus 5, I'm here. Okay. Just give me, I only got about 5 minutes to finish this. Wrap this up. And then next Wednesday, where I will finish it, brother is going to be gone until the 25th. So I'll give you your warning. You don't want to come. I already told you. You are warned. I'll be here next Wednesday. Okay. 5. I'm sorry. You guys are so good to me. See, that's an offense. I didn't mean to offend you. I know. Sorry. If anyone sinned because they do not speak up when they hear a public charge to testify regarding something they have seen or learned about, they will be held responsible. That's what that says. How many of you are guilty last year? No, don't want to see hands. Somebody came and told you something, and you took it as a face value. And you know it wasn't right. Why didn't you tell your pastor? Right. Or go and tell that person? Right. You know, that's not right what you're doing. Right. If you don't, you didn't learn anything, and you do it this year again. Right. 4, it says, the rest of it is about guilty about touching, unclean things. But you get to 4, and it says, or if anyone take an oath to do anything, whether good or evil, in any matter, one might carelessly swear about. See, and you're joking around, you're playing around, and or whatever, you're just talking and say, I can do that. I promise you I can do that. You know, even if it was intentionally or not. Carelessly, even though they are unaware of it, see, but they learn of it and realize the guilt. Then he says, when you are aware, you know, that you have committed of error, a choice, a bad choice, you need to do what? Confess. He says, over there, confess your sin. Every time you are talking to someone, and I'm going to wrap it up, and suddenly you realize that something is wrong, it is your duty bound to fix it. It doesn't matter who started it. Because if you don't get fixed, we all going to suffer sooner or later. Amen. Okay, stand up. I'm going to read you one quote, and I'm going to put right here because I finish the rest of next week. We have part 2 of this. Even though I'm close, I'm so seriously close, 2 pages. Maybe I just finish it quickly, and then I don't have to come back to this. How can you preach predestination of God for foreordaining and setting unless there is sin atonement somewhere? What is it? Each day you make a mistake, each day you do wrong, you and me. But if you are born again, man or woman, as soon as you make the mistake, not next week, next year, as soon as you made the mistake, God knows you are sorry for it. He knows you're sorry. You're son of God. You're going to feel bad about it. But being sorry is not all. You would stand in the presence of the president or anyone else and say, I am wrong. God forgive me for this thing. Why? And there is where the blood atonement. See? So, if you're a son or daughter of God, you will make things right. You will make things right. God knows your heart, but you still got to make it right. Just because God knows your heart don't make it right. But forgive me, the Lord, you know, I offended my brother, but you know, my heart, I didn't mean to. Then you need to go and tell him. I'm going to read you the last one and I'm going to leave it there. You got the point. He says, I'm going to read you the last quote. If you want to go to the last quote. And how can I then, this is talking about condemnation. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and know all things. He says, and now can I then, as after Christ has died for me and I have become his righteousness because of his grace and love for me, how can I sin? See, you cannot sin. If that seed remains in you, you cannot sin. The real you, okay, this flesh, the real you cannot sin. In your soul, you cannot sin. But we make mistakes. That's a different story. This flesh is condemned. Ain't going nowhere. And we need to keep this flesh down. I'm subject to the Spirit of God. He says, something lies between me and God. Sacrifice. I cannot sin. Cannot do it. God never sees me. He sees Christ. He stands on my place. And when I do anything wrong, Christ takes my place. But we know that. But nevertheless, he says, I made my what? You have to confess. I am wrong. He is right. Lord, you know my heart. You know whatever I mean or not. I mean it or not. I am wrong. Forgive me. God never see it. The blood of Jesus got me covered all the time. Then how can God ever see me? How can sin be counted to me when he can not do it? Just as soon as I do it, it is forgiven. So that's right. Brother Brown says, listen, what do I learn from last year? I learned that in all those situations, sometimes I needed to, you know, speak to someone. Never let any spirit come between you and your brother. Never. Even if it hurts to confess. But this year we need to keep ourselves united. And the only way we can keep united is if we can confess our faults to each other. When we offend somebody, intentionally or not intentionally. This is the year that we are going as a family, as this local family, this is the year that we are going to come more closer. And Brother Brown says, as that day approaches, come so close that you can squeeze that thing out of it. That spirit don't belong here. Squeeze it out. Don't have any complex. The reason the things are happening to you is to teach you. It's a teaching moment. It's not trying to destroy you, not trying to break your character or to shame you. This is a body move, but it's an individual walk. And the closer we get to the end, the closer we need to walk together and squeeze the devil out of here. He's not welcome here. Brother says, if it comes the day, that sin cannot come to those doors. Why? Because you're not going to allow it. You're going to be in such a unity and such a love that whoever comes there better make things right with God before they come. Because they won't be able to. They're going to feel so bad, because the Spirit will condemn or convict them to make things right. Brother Brown says, and I finish, if you come to this line, make things right, because then God cannot show it to me. But if you don't make it right, God will show it to me. That's how he knew when somebody still has sin, because they didn't make it right. And if you come here to be in prayer, or you're going to be with your brother, or you come to church, make things right with God, because God is all over here. God is in you. God is everywhere. And he will use me. He will use Brother Doug. He will use your brother to make sure. God will use something to make sure. God will use a situation. That's what happened last year. God will use every situation for us to make things right. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for this teaching moment. Thank you, Father, because even things that are so simple, sometimes we don't look at them. And Brother Brandon told us, Father, do the simple thing, and we make sure to see the big ones. But sometimes in the small things, this is what our problems are, not in the big things. In the everyday life walk, in the little things here and there, that's why we make mistakes. That's because we are not aware. Sometimes we need to be aware. Be sensitive to your spirit, to your leading, and to our feelings when we hurt somebody else. If we feel uncomfortable, somehow then something happens. Because that happens to me sometimes. Sometimes I feel uncomfortable. It's because something's going wrong. And that's your way to tell me that something is wrong, either me or the other person, it doesn't matter. But if we cannot be comfortable with one another together, there's something wrong. If you cannot sit across someone and look at them in their eyes and be sincere and honest, there's something wrong. Because it should not happen. But Rana was told to be sincere. Not that he wasn't, but more sincere. We need to be sincere and honest. And respectful to one another. We come into an end, and you will have sons and daughters of God standing maturity and perfection before this coming. This rapture happens. Father, help me. It is the time to come, and this is the church, and it's a place for correction. Yeah, I love to sing, I like to jump, and I like to run, but this is the place for correction. Lord, correct me. Help me because I want to be corrected. I don't want to have any problems. And if I'm your son, I know you. Nothing will come between you and me. Nothing can. Nothing can. So I thank you, Lord, because you still give me the desire to serve you, the desire to come, the desire to do what's right. Thank you. It is all you. Thank you for bringing me to this point, this far, and I know I'm going to trust you for the rest of the way. Father, I don't care when I get there. If you said depart from me, I'm going to go on with the same spirit. If you don't take it away from me, Father. But I will walk with the expectation that someday I will see you, Father. And I will spend eternity with you. Father, we love you and we... It's just not enough word to express it. But we do, Father. We do. In our own ways, we do. And in our own ways, we love one another. Father, and thank you for that. Because it's the love of God in our life that compels us to do that, Father. And I thank you, Father. Thank you for your Holy Ghost, our teacher. And the one that shapes us and molds us and shows things to come. And this word. And he makes sure that we are growing in a stature of a perfect man. We thank you, Lord, for that because we're not doing this ourselves. It is all you, in and out. And we thank you, Father. Now, Father, be with the people as they go back home. Take them safe, sound and safe, Father. And if there's another Sunday, Father, another day, we still look forward to what you have to say. Father, I know I'm not like I used to be, but I'm not like I want to be. So, Lord, I know I'm still a work in progress, Father. Help me to surrender. To your will, help me to surrender, Father, to you, so you can finish the work that you started, Father. You know how far you need to go with me. You know what is left be done in me, Father. Show me, Father, where I falter or where I do wrong, so I won't do it again, Father. Because I want to repent as soon as I know. I want to walk with you. I want to walk your way, Father, not my way. Father, again, thank you. For this Wednesday, this opportunity to make love to you and let the world make love to us, Father. Thank you again for changing our life. We sure appreciate that. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Sorry I kept you a little longer, but we never know. Hey, it's my turn. So, let's sing a song. I don't know. Where is it? Oh, you, Greg. You know, the spare tires. But come on, Greg. Andy's sick and dog is gone and I'm here. Amen. It is not because I wanted to. I'm glad that this is what God determined to do today. Amen. You like it or not?
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true.